Matthew chapter 6, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we're looking at the what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and I wanted to read verse 13, and some of you, if you're following along, depends on what version you have. I'm reading from the New King James, but we're going to focus on verse 13 this morning, and in verse 13 it says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil," or the evil one. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, for some of you, I want you to just look at your Bible and realize that for some of you, as I just read that, some of you might have a little footnote if you have the New King James, or if you have another version, you might have a little footnote there that says that this states that. That phrase was not in some of the manuscripts. They were omitted that portion or that verse. I typically read from the New King James, and so if Pastor Chris was up here this morning reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, he would have jumped from part A of verse 13 immediately into verse 14, because in the ESV, in the NIV, I think it's a Common English Bible, there's a couple others where this phrase has been omitted and to where it's been left out. So a show of hands, how many of you did not have that phrase in your Bible as you're reading? Okay? All right, cool. That's good. It's not a bad thing. And so here's one of the things, this is the kind of church family that we're trying to be. And I want to encourage you with this, because some of you come in here and your tradition or your background, you weren't allowed to ask questions, and you weren't allowed to ask hard questions. And so that when the going got tough and there were some difficult questions, or there were some things that didn't quite make sense, it's amazing. Even when you go to a lot of commentaries, a lot of people have a lot to say in commentaries about the simple stuff. But then when you get to a difficult passage and you're digging, and like for me, I've got like 6 or 8 different commentaries laying out, and it's like they've got 2 lines. I'm like, come on, guys, seriously? You know, you're not helping me here. What's up with this? One of the things that we need to be willing to do is to just address and talk openly about stuff, and that's the kind of church family we're trying to be. So this morning, as we're coming to this verse, some of you don't have this phrase in your version, and some of you do. And so it creates a talking point. Let's talk about that. Why is that? And I just want to say this. If you're one of those people that maybe you're new in your faith, or just the way that your mind works, you're very analytical, and you're thinking, oh man, this is a major problem. Well, that's all in your perspective. It's not a problem to me whatsoever, because it's easy to address. And as we're going to talk about, it doesn't add or change or take away anything. So this phrase was not found in some of the earliest Greek manuscripts, but it is found in the majority of the manuscripts that have been found. And there's so many manuscripts. Some believe that this was a doxology that found its way into many of the manuscripts. Because in the early, now we have the Torah, we have the Old Testament, but early on with a lot of the Greek manuscripts and the way that things were handed down, it was a lot of verbal sharing, communication that was taking place within the church. There was a lot of stories, and there was a lot of stuff that was being passed on. So as they started writing things down, there's some that believe that this was actually a doxology. Now, my mind just went blank. Smart guys, theologians, sorry, linguists that I was studying said about 98.5% of the Greek manuscripts have verse 13, but some of the earliest ones don't. So what I want to reiterate is that the earliest manuscripts did not have this phrase, but I also want to mention there were men and women that are way smarter than I am that have spent most of their lives studying the depths of the original manuscripts. For me, this phrase does not in any manner go against anything in the Holy Scripture. I believe that this is very important truth that I need and we need to incorporate into our daily life. So let me ask you to do something this morning, but only if you want to. If your version does not have this sentence in the sequence of the example prayer, then I'm asking you to take a couple of moments and just actually write it in your Bible. Just write down, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, I don't know if you're okay with writing in your Bible. If you come look at mine, you can tell where I've been studying because it's like a scribble fest. I write myself notes. I remind myself, if you want to see what I'm really struggling with, open up a certain page and I'm like, you need to deal with this better, or, you know, this is an issue, that kind of thing. But this is what I want us to think about this morning. And this is what I would like for us to use this phrase as. And it's a simple lesson this morning, and it's a simple truth. But I want us to look at this phrase, and I want us to use it as a compass in our lives and in our prayer lives to help us stay focused on due north, to keep our bearings. Because the thing that we all have in common this morning is, as we came in here this morning, that each and every one of us are in this battle. And we're in this battle for our minds. We're in this battle for our hearts. We're in this battle for our souls. And there are so many distractions taking place. And as we are learning, when Jesus said, these are the components that you need to be focused on and you need to pray about every single day. To me, what I love about this phrase is that it makes it such a compass focusing true north evaluation for my own self and my own prayer life. So let me just point out that if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, this was David when he offered praise to God in preparation of the temple construction. Look, you're going to see a similar thing. So you're going to see these phrases throughout the Bible, and that's why I think that it's super important to incorporate this phrase as part of our prayer. This is what David said. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is heaven, all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. There again in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So I need to consider for me personally, and this phrase has been working on me, just like all of these phrases and all of these components of the example prayer, the disciples' prayer. This is what the Lord was teaching us, and this is what the early church embraced. I would like for us to just take a few minutes and consider these three aspects of this proclamation today. Number one, he is the king of the kingdom. I know it's a simple thing, but I think sometimes in the daily routine of what's going on and in our struggles, we just really lose sight of the fact that God the Father is the king of the kingdom. As we're learning this upside down kingdom, and as we're learning about kingdom principles, and as Jesus is teaching these rich things to these followers as they're on the mountainside, and as we're going back through them, I think it's important to realize that God the Father is the king of the kingdom, an eternal and everlasting kingdom. Now, I need for you to just think about that for just a minute and let it sink in. He is the king of the real kingdom. And the real kingdom is everlasting and it's eternal. Now, he asks us to focus on working toward giving an example and a reflection, a sampling, a tasting of that kingdom right here today on earth, the way that it would be done in heaven. That's a pretty steep challenge. And yet, we have the privilege of being able to reflect in this broken, dark world, glimpses of the king and his kingdom. That's pretty crazy cool. If you look at it through the eyes of what a blessed opportunity, instead of through the eyes of like, oh my word, overwhelmed. You get what I'm saying? Number two, he is the power. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. Some of you need to follow suit. The children will lead us. Did you get that? Chad, I'm waiting. Okay. He is the power. That means he is the strength, that power, that ability. Everlasting cosmic power. I love this time of year. I love being in the woods. I was having conversations this week. How can you be in the woods? Literally, it's hard for me to understand how you can be in the woods, especially this time of year, seeing the leaves dropping, seeing all the beautiful things that are taking place, seeing all the changes going on, see these different types of trees. You've got all these trees that are losing their leaves. Others are evergreens that are staying there. You've got all this diversity, all this complexity, and it just boo-booed. I'm looking at a cosmic boo-boo.
Well, just a long time ago, something went, and it all happened. I'm just telling you, we've been evolving ever since.
I know I'm being silly, but I don't get it. I'm looking, I see design. I see intricacy. I see detail. And it's the thing is, he is the power. We are here because he's a powerful God, and he's a cosmic power. He's not limited to Madison County. Oh my goodness, we're just one blip. Look, pan back and look at the globe. It's like all this global stuff is going on, and he's aware of it because he is the power. He's an everlasting cosmic power. And then last, but not last, in this phrase, he is glorious and he will receive glory. In the original language, what it means is this kingly majesty which belongs to him as a supreme ruler, that which belongs to God. Eternal glory and majesty. Now, I don't know about you, but what really makes a difference in my prayer life in that secret place is when I can lay aside the lists and the duty. And when I can be all by myself with the phone off, no music, no nothing, and it's just myself and God, and I begin to allow myself to focus on his glory and his majesty and his power and his greatness, that is when we begin to enter in and get a glimpse of what genuine worship is all about. Because it's us and God. And I'm just telling you right now that every single instance where I allow myself that privilege, I can't explain it. There's something supernatural going on inside of me. And the Holy Spirit meets with the very presence of God in that way, and the teaching of our Lord and his sacrifice, and there's a natural purification process. There's a natural empowering that takes place because I'm allowing myself to get a glimpse of the King. And his majesty and his power, it makes a difference. So let me remind you of some verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 in the New King James. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Brothers and sisters, we're not here because we're cool. We're not here because of branding. We're not here because we got a great barn to meet in. Praise God for the barn. It's none of those human physical things. We are here because we are crazy from the world's perspective because we genuinely believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That's why we're here. And I'm just telling you, I've spent a lot of my years, early years, in religious confusion, and I was not emboldened by the gospel message. I was actually timid and scared, and I would back away. You can say I was ashamed of the gospel. And I would never come out and say that, because that just sounds so unchristian. But in my actions, in my communication, in my stance, in the way that I presented myself, might as well just be honest with myself. I functioned like I was ashamed of the gospel. I'm not proud of that. But I say that because some of you sitting here today, I want you to know you're not alone. And there's no condemnation. There's understanding. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." I don't care where you've come from, what you've done, what mistakes you, I don't care. God doesn't care. It's for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. "For in it, the righteousness of God, in it, the very character and nature of God is revealed from faith to faith." as is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. For the message of the cross, and brothers and sisters, please hear me, nothing has changed since the canon of Scripture recorded this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The very unction, the very power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Talking about he is the king of the kingdom. And whether we misunderstand or whether we are confused, please hear me when I say this. It's very simple. Our confusion does not dethrone him. My lack of perspective doesn't crumble God. Oh, my word, Tim doesn't have faith. I'm shrinking. I'm melting. Some of you like that movie. Go ahead and laugh. I get it. I like that. You get what I'm saying? Think about it. Our secret time with God in this special secret place. Some of you have grabbed this book. And if you're going through and applying the pages, those of you that you've been using this, how can you go through this and it not be life-changing? Transformational by the Spirit of God. That secret place of our lives should create, please hear me when I say this. Barry, did you get that? That was good, Barry. Barry mentioned that late. I'm glad you remembered that, Barry, by the way. Thank you. Hear me when I say this. It should create a sense of awe and reverence in our relationship with him. I'll be honest. For me, some of you are just like me. The reason you run from the secret place that Jesus is trying to teach us how to go into, because if you go back and read what Jesus is trying to say, he's like, hey, you need to get alone by yourself with God. Some of you are like, no way. Not doing that. Let me keep myself busy. Because you're scared. Like I used to be scared. Because you feel like if you get along with you and God, then all bets are off. And you're straight up before him. But only until you deal with your fear and address your anxiety will you be able to open yourself up to the forgiving, cleansing presence of the Holy One who gave his son on your behalf to transform you and change you. So when we get along with him, what happens is it should create this awe or this reverence, this respect, and we should get a glimpse of his majesty. We have the privilege of personally experiencing the reality of his eternal kingdom for ourselves privately. The glory of his power at work within us and the ability to join with the angelic host to give him glory and majesty. I just want to say this as a reminder. Some of you need to hear this. Our personal and human kingdoms, they're only temporary. Whatever you think you're in charge of right now and you think you got it going on, please hear me when I say in love, life changes and your situation will change. If not now, at some point in the future. We got a group of people sitting back here that are from California. The place where they worship burned down. Homes are burned down, city burned down. Is their faith destroyed? No. But they could testify, if you want to talk to them afterwards, they would sit here and say, hey, things change in the blink of an eye. Our personal and human kingdoms are temporary. Our human strength and our power wanes. I'm a living example. I'm doing stuff that young bucks come around, they just pick it up, and I'm like, oh, my word. I'm like, for the first time in my life, I'm actually trying to pick things up properly. Squat, pick up with your legs, you know. You do it wrong all your life, and then all of a sudden you stand up, and your back's like, oh, my goodness. It's just a reminder. Our human strength and power wanes. Our human glory diminishes and fades. It's sad to watch somebody from Hollywood that their entire existence has been behind the camera in image and presentation, and they've either been Mr. Hunk or Mrs. Hot, and everybody has like given them glory and honor and majesty, because, and then you see them begin to wane and they begin to age, and it's sad to me to watch somebody desperately hold on to a 30-year-old image that they will never be able to retain. You don't like me saying that? It's just a reality of life. Our human glory diminishes and fades. Yet we are created eternal beings as we bear the image of God. Scripture teaches that we will live eternally in one of two everlasting places. Every single one of us in here will live for eternity in one of two places. I believe that as sure as the breath that I'm taking. That's why I believe in the power of the gospel. His kingdom will be with the king in his kingdom, or the opposite, the place of judgment because of our rejection. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. I want to read this to you. And don't ask me to explain this. If you need understanding, ask Chris Cowan, ask Andrew, ask Tom. They've been in the, and those of you that have been going on Thursday nights, because they've got all the answers for Revelation. Right, Chris? Chris, raise your hand back there. Chris is the authority on Revelation. He's looking around. That's good. That's good. He's the guy with the red hat that stopped looking at me. Okay. Oh, yeah, Tucker's at that Bible study, too. Everybody knows who Tucker is. Tucker, can I get amen? Okay, no. He's got the red face, red cap, red face. Okay. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Mind-boggling image here. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. I just have to accept it. Whoa. That would definitely get my attention. Don't flinch. They're going to see you anywhere, anyway, anytime. Anyway, I digress. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, what is their job? What is their calling? What is their focus? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This message is either an eternal comfort or temporary craziness. And there's no middle ground. And faith is the difference. May we incorporate these aspects of our daily prayer to help us adjust our course and stay focused on our heavenly kingdom. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So be it. Put an exclamation mark on it. You struggling today? You struggling day after day? You begin to incorporate this phrase into your daily prayer. Father, you are the King of the kingdom. What? Gonna make an adjustment. You are the powerful one. Don't be scared about all these powerful things going on around us. He is powerful. And he is the one that's going to receive the glory and the honor and the majesty. When we begin to revel in that, oh my goodness, it will help adjust our course. And let me just tell you something. This will help our course adjustment with fear and anxiety and trepidation and all kinds of negative things that we struggle with. So what are you doing inside of yourself with him? I'm going to ask you a simple question. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Then allow him to be your king. Join in the kingdom work. Begin to experience an elevation of his power above yours. And see his glorious presence and his majesty, and see if that is not transforming in your mind. So, Father, you do in us what you want. And you add to your church today those that need to be a part of your kingdom. Father, we want to make you happy, so we need your help. Because so many of these things kind of don't make sense to us on a human level. So we need your spirit to open our minds and open our eyes and help us. Because of Jesus we ask. Amen. Let's stand and proclaim his name together.